How good it is to come and to hear these stories that have been given to us out of the Gospels. We shared them for some 2,000 years, and we have looked at Jesus in many different ways as a result of these stories. The names that they had for him: Emmanuel, Savior, Christ the Lord, King. One of my favorite names for Jesus comes out of John's Gospel. John doesn't have any birth stories, but he just starts by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and in him was life, and that life was the light of all people, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Right there, the light of all people. That's one of my favorite ways of seeing our Lord. And it is a way that has resonated on nights like this, especially when people have come together to experience with their senses this give and take of darkness and light. Because from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and spoke, "Let there be light," what God has been doing ever since then has been pushing back the darkness. And it's not just to remember that God called light into being because God is light, but it is almost a command to those who understand light and where the power to be light comes from. Hears him say to us, "Let there be light. You be light. You go into this world. Dispel the darkness, because the light of Christ lives in you." I think it's amazing that Christmas is a time when we have our best crowds, our best turnout in our worship services. You know, because for four centuries, they didn't even celebrate the birth of Jesus. It was around the fourth century where, you know, Christians started saying to one another, "You know, we have all these wonderful stories in the Bible, but, you know, we don't celebrate Jesus' birth in any way. Don't you think that we should celebrate Jesus' birth?" And so they started looking at it, and they said, "Well, when was he born?" And of course, nobody knows that. They didn't have birth certificates. They may have somewhere in the Roman Empire, but they certainly didn't in Israel. They didn't keep birth certificates. Nobody knew when Jesus was born. We certainly know his death. I mean, the date of his death and the date of his resurrection, because it's tied to the Passover. But we really don't know when Jesus was born. And when they started asking those questions, they said, "Well, you know, I think that probably one of the best times that we could have to celebrate his birth would be, you know, at the time of the winter solstice." There was certainly celebrations throughout the Roman Empire at the winter solstice, the shortest day in the year where you had the least light and the most darkness. And they looked at it and said, "You know, this is exactly what Christ did. He came to be light and to push back the darkness." And so this is the time when they did it. December 25th was always the winter solstice day on the Julian calendar that they used at that time. I think it fluctuates a little bit with us between the 21st and the 24th or so. And some people look at that and say, "Well, the Christians just baptized a pagan holiday. That's all it is. We're not going to celebrate Christmas. You're just baptizing a pagan holiday." And of course, they celebrated what they saw in the heavens. Everybody looks forward to more light and less darkness. And every day from there, for 6 months, more light every day, more light every day. And they said, "You know, that's really what God is about in our world." And that's really what we are to be about. Now, in the Bible, when we talk about darkness, it usually means one of two things. Occasionally, it'll mean something different, but it usually means one of two things. One is evil. If you were to define darkness, you would define it as evil. All of the mean things that we do to each other as human beings, all the ways that we hurt each other, in every way, that's a part of the definition of evil, and we all see it, we all know it, and we have all even experienced some in our own hearts, both being a victim of evil, being hurt ourselves, and being some that have administered evil by hurting others at points in our life. And the other definition for darkness would be the pain that we have, the sorrow, the grief, the despair. And many of you have actually gone through that. Some of those who came up to read for us tonight, to light candles this year, have lost a loved one that was like having their heart yanked out. And the pain that we go through is very, very real, and you start to feel the darkness in your life when you feel the pain growing there. And John says, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in Him was life, and that light was the light of all people. Meaning that into our evil, into our pain, into our darkness, if you will, Christ comes right in the midst of that to bring us His assurance and His hope and His vision of what it means that He came not only to be born in a manger, but eventually to be raised from the grave, and to give us a way of just knowing that He always has the last word. You can trust that. You can just lay that to rest. God has this. He's going to have the last word. But in the meantime, let there be light. You be light. One of my favorite things to kind of go and check this year are stories about, you know, Secret Santa. I don't know if you have seen those. If you haven't, go and check some of those videos. I mean, they're having 40 and 50 million hits. And every year, it just gets more and more. And I heard this week how it all started. It's an interesting little story. Back in 1971, there was a man, a homeless stranger actually, that went into a little diner, a Dixie Diner, in Houston, Mississippi, and he was starving to death. He went in and ordered the biggest meal they had on the menu, and he intended to slip out before paying for the meal. Of course, he couldn't pay for the meal, but he was hungry, and that's what he was going to do. The owner of that restaurant, Ted Horn, kind of picked up that this is what was happening, and so he eventually walked in behind this man and handed him a $20 bill and said, I think you dropped this back here, and just handed it to him. And he knew what was happening. And he said to them, or he said to himself that night, if I ever get in a position to do something like that, I am sure going to take it. Well, it turns out he was a very bright man, Larry Stewart. And he made millions in the cable and long distance business. And when he did, he had this idea that every year he was going to take about $100,000 and go and give it to people in random acts of kindness with expressions of love as he did it. Nobody knew who he was, And until 1906, when he got terminal cancer. And then it kind of came out. But before he died, he had a friend that was sitting there in the hospital room with him, and he just said, you know, Larry, do you have any regrets? He said, yeah, I have one. I just wish that I could have helped more people. And it was the man that he said that to that became the Secret Santa, who every year, I mean, he had given away about $1 million, but now the second Secret Santa, we don't know who he is, has done the same thing, and over the last decade has given about $1 million, $100 at a time. And one of the things that he likes to do is go into places like Pittsburgh or Kansas City and give, like, each officer there, at a time when police aren't, you know, always in the news, in the best light, but most of them are so terrific, and he gives, like, each one of them $1,000, $1 bill, and they're stopping people and saying, you know, your car was targeted, and they say, how you doing today? She say, well, I was doing pretty good until you stopped me. He say, well, I just had to. Secret Santa wanted me to give you this $100 bill, and then they just start crying and said, I didn't know how I was going to give Christmas to my children. Or one lady said, you don't understand, I just came from chemo. I have stage 4 breast cancer, and not a $1 million would have changed my life today. But this and the kindness that came with it left her overjoyed. I could say a whole lot more about that. But what I want to remind you of is that the original Secret Santa really was Jesus Christ, who says it's not about the money and gifts and all of that, but it is about kindness. And the only currency that you really need in this world to make this world a better place is to pass around this love that has been given to you, that has come into this world, this life of ours, and into these lives of ours. Let there be light. Push back the darkness. Do it with love. Do it with kindness. And you will fulfill the purpose that I came into this world to give you. What a gift we have been given to pass on.